Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Panic Podcast for the 22nd day. No, the 20, yeah, it is the 22nd day of September in the year of our Lord, 2025. This is the place where we make sense of the Bible, and today we're going to make sense of anger. Are you an angry person? Do you lose your temper all the time? Well, stay tuned. We're going to talk about anger, what it is, what it isn't, and how you can overcome anger in your life. I think you're going to find this to be an interesting Bible study today on the Panic Podcast. Okay, I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think I can actually hear myself in my headphones now. Yes, I can. Excellent. Okay, here we are on the Panic Podcast. It's a little bit disconcerting when you're wearing headphones and you're talking and all you can hear is the music, but you can't hear yourself. It's a little bit weird. And we've got this new equipment that we put in, a month ago maybe. And I'm still trying to figure it out. There's these knobs and buttons all over the place. You know, I wish we could go back to the days when we had magnetic tape. Remember tape, cassette tapes, reel-to-reel tape? I'd even settle for 8-track tapes. I'm at that age where I just cannot get used to the digital medium. I know it's supposed to be a lot easier and everything, but I don't know. I miss my magnetic tapes. Well, what a gorgeous, gorgeous weekend it was. It was truly spectacular here in Wise County, Virginia. Very, very warm temperatures, lots of sunshine. All that's going to change this week as the clouds roll in and we get lots and lots of rain around midweek. So buckle up and get out your galoshes and your umbrellas because we're going to get dumped on. The second deadly sin, anger. We're looking at the seven deadly sins on Mondays. And Proverbs 16:32 from the Living Bible says this: "It is better to be slow-tempered than famous. It is better to have self-control than to control an army." Now, I want to read that from the Tree of Life version. Now, listen to this. "Better to be slow to anger than a mighty warrior. One who controls his temper is better than one who conquers a city." Interesting, isn't it? There was a fellow by the name of Fred. This is a more or less a true story, but the names have been changed to protect the innocent. Fred, a mild-mannered accountant by day, but boy, oh boy, when he got behind the wheel of his car, he transformed into a road-raging superhero, minus the superpowers and plus a whole lot of honking. Well, one afternoon, Fred was stuck in traffic on his way home from work. All he wanted to do was get home. He was tired. He was hungry. He was thirsty. But the guy in front of him was crawling along at a snail's pace. Fred was sure he was texting or doing something equally as infuriating. Well, Fred leaned on his horn, yelled out the window, "Move it, you idiot! Some of us have to be places." Well, finally, the light turned green, and the slowpoke inched forward. Well, Fred had had enough. He checked his rearview mirror, pulled out, and zoomed past this guy. And he glanced over, and he saw that it was his pastor behind the wheel, sipping a cup of coffee and waving cheerfully. Well, Fred felt pretty bad. He slunk down in his seat, his face redder than a tomato. Well, that Sunday, he got up in church and he confessed, "Pastor, I think I need to work on my anger issues." The pastor just smiled and said, "No worries, Fred, but next time, remember, honking at heaven won't get you there any faster." Well, we laugh at stories like this because we've all been there. Maybe not in a car, but we've all been there. We've all been stuck behind that little old lady in the checkout line, reaching into her little change purse with her arthritic fingers, trying to get 2 pennies to pay the bill. We've all been there, that moment when a spark of irritation or frustration flares up into a bonfire. Anger, sometimes it's called wrath, is the second deadly sin in the traditional list of 7 that can poison our souls, push us away from God and God's people. Now, pride might be first, puffing us up like balloons until we're ready to pop. But anger, believe me, it follows very close behind, igniting conflicts that, well, burn bridges, scar hearts. You know, the so-called 7 deadly sins, they're not just relics from our medieval past. They're timeless warnings about attitudes and behaviors that lead us away from God's grace. And anger, left unchecked, it's not just a bad mood. It's a spiritual hazard that I promise you will consume us from the inside out. Now, anger is also a sin that's everywhere. I mean, it seems to be everywhere. It's a sin that infects everybody. No one is immune to the sin of anger. From the smallest child to the oldest adult, this sin stalks all of us like a predatory animal looking for an unsuspecting sheep to gobble up. You know, road rage like Fred's, heated arguments on social media, workplace blow-ups, those ever-simmering resentments at home. Anger is everywhere. Some of you might be parents. Maybe you've raised kids and you're very well aware of the fierce temper of a small baby. Oh yeah, it cries out until it's red with anger. Those little veins in its neck popping out. Childhood sees the situation getting even worse. Fits of anger lead to bickering and self-centered fighting among siblings and parents. Outward displays in childhood degenerate into sulking, pouting teenagers that apparently are mad at the whole world for something. Anger causes doors to slam, plates to break. A lot of times, anger leads to ulcers, stress, headaches. So what can we do about this? Well, fortunately, the Bible doesn't shy away from the problem of anger. In fact, it confronts it. And surprisingly, it teaches us that anger, it's not all bad. Sometimes anger can be good. Sometimes it's not so good. So, according to the Bible then, just what is anger? Okay, the first thing I would say is that anger is not always sinful. So let's get that out of the way right off the top. It's a legitimate emotion given to every human being by God. So it cannot be bad. And it serves different purposes. For example, a good kind of anger would be a response to injustice or wrong. And there's a great example of this in Mark chapter 3. So you might want to turn there. We're going to be in Mark chapter 3 for just a few minutes. We're actually going to be looking at a lot of scriptures this morning, but we're going to start Mark chapter 3. Jesus finds himself in Capernaum at the synagogue on Sabbath, and he notices a man with a deformed or withered hand. As I say, it's the Sabbath, so of course there were many religious elites there, men who were already very suspicious about Jesus, and they were looking for reasons to have him arrested. So let's pick up the story at verse 3, Mark 3, verses 3 to 5. Let's read it from the Living Bible. So Jesus asked the man with the withered hand to come and stand in front of the congregation. And then turning to his enemies, asked, "Is it all right to do kind deeds on Sabbath days? Or is this a day for doing harm? Is it a day to save lives or to destroy them?" But they wouldn't answer him, looking around at them angrily, for he was deeply disturbed by their indifference to human need. Jesus said to the man, "Reach out your hand." He did, and instantly his hand was healed. You know, far from being intimidated by the religious leaders and their scrutiny, Jesus made sure that what he was about to do would be done in full view of everybody in the synagogue. And Jesus asks a very interesting question that may seem a little bit weird to you, so I'll explain the context. His question is about doing, like, kind deeds or fighting. Like, what's better to do on the Sabbath? Is it better to do something good or to fight? And that question, the Pharisees couldn't answer him. In fact, it says, but they wouldn't answer him. Jewish law, as a matter of fact, permitted fighting on the Sabbath. Couldn't do hardly anything on the Sabbath, but you could fight. During the days of the great Maccabean revolt, that took place during the in between the Old and the New Testaments, you can read about it in the Apocrypha, the Jews refused to fight on the Sabbath, and so many were slaughtered as a result. Well, eventually, they came to a decision, and you can find this in the apocryphal book of 1 Maccabees, chapter 2, verse 41. Here's what they said. "Let us fight against anyone who attacks us on the Sabbath, so that we may not all die as our kinsmen died in the hiding places." So Jesus' argument, while it may not make a lot of sense to us, it would have really pierced the hearts of the Pharisees. It amounts to saying that if you recognize a right to wage war on the Sabbath to defend life, how much more ought you to recognize the legitimacy of a good deed like restoring health to this man's hand? But these guys, they would not be moved. They believed what they believed, and that was it. And Jesus was absolutely incensed. Now, the Living Bible tells us that Jesus looked around at them angrily and that he was deeply disturbed. The Greek word here means that Jesus was angry at their hardness of heart. I mean, their refusal to be open to God. By the way, this condition at times even characterized our Lord's disciples. But God's anger was more than just a human response. Now, anger in the Bible, especially throughout the Old Testament, is often used to describe God's holy indignation at human evil. That is to say, man's inhumanity to man and man's utter disregard for God's will. Now, this particular Sabbath, our Lord's anger was fueled by both his compassion and his hatred for hypocrisy that wanted to block mercy. Well, Jesus healed the man anyway, showing us that anger, when it is aligned with God's will, can lead to something good. Now, but the sin of anger, it's a little bit different. It's selfish, it's uncontrolled, and it's destructive. The sin of anger simmers into a bitterness, or explodes into violence, giving the devil a foothold. Ephesians 4, 26 to 27, speaking of a foothold, Paul says, if you are angry, don't sin by nursing your grudge. Now that's an interesting verse because it seems to suggest that you can be angry, but not sin. But Paul says, if you're angry, don't sin by nursing your grudge. Don't let the sun go down with you still angry. Get over it quickly. For when you're angry, you give a mighty foothold to the devil. Now, you're probably more familiar with verse 26 in the King James Version. Be angry and sin not. The Greek verb here, it's a very funny looking and funny sounding verb, ragaz, R-A-G-A-Z. Sounds like a name in a video game, doesn't it? Ragaz. Well, it means to tremble with fear or rage. One scholar explaining what Paul meant put it this way, don't let your anger be mixed with rage. That's why the Living Bible says, if you're angry, don't sin by nursing your grudge. Jesus' anger in Mark chapter 3 was a righteous indignation, and that's acceptable because it led to something very good taking place. The problem with the sin of anger or uncontrolled anger is that it can easily degenerate into bitterness, things like holding a grudge. Our anger, our feelings of exasperation or frustration, however justifiable, must never be allowed to simmer overnight. That's right, you got to get over it quickly. You got to deal with your anger quickly, or it will turn into a sin. And if we follow Paul's advice on this, then the devil can't get his cloven hoof in the door of our heart. He'll have nothing to work with. Now, in his famous Sermon on the Mount, Jesus made a very, very sharp point relevant to what we're talking about today. Mark 5, 21 and 22. Jesus says, under the laws of Moses, the rule was, if you murder, you must die. But I've added to that rule, and I tell you that if you're only angry, even in your own home, you're in danger of judgment. If you call your friend an idiot, you're in danger of being brought before the court. And if you curse him, you're in danger of the fires of hell. I mean, here, Jesus equates unchecked anger with murder. Now, don't go crazy and don't misunderstand what Jesus is getting at here. Okay, anger is not murder. In no world is anger the same thing as murder. What Jesus is trying to teach us is that this unchecked anger, it's an attitude of the heart and will always lead to something destructive. Think of it like this. Unchecked anger kills relationships. It kills trust. It can even kill our spiritual vitality. The part about calling your friend an idiot or a fool, in anger, thereby possibly dishonoring him in public or in front of his family or peers. I mean, that can crush somebody's spirit. It can break their heart, leading to hurt feelings and resentments. I remember I worked way back when I worked for Radio Shack. I had a manager that used to chew us out in front of customers. Man, that made you feel bad. It made the employer look really bad. It made the employee who was getting chewed out feel really small and made customers feel very, very uncomfortable. And Jesus, though, I mean, he knows this kind of thing happens. He knows it's going to happen, and he's got a solution. And his solution is basically the same as Paul's. You've got to deal with it quickly and effectively. Matthew 5, 23 and 24, Jesus continues. He says, so if you're standing before the altar in the temple, offering a sacrifice to God, and suddenly remember that a friend has something against you, leave your sacrifice there beside the altar and go and apologize and be reconciled to him. And then come and offer your sacrifice to God. So you got to deal with that anger, even if it means leaving church. Don't let your anger persist. Even if you're worshiping God and you remember an unsolved problem in a personal relationship, you got to leave church. You got to make things right and come back. Now, Moses is a great example of a tremendous man of God who got it right and got it wrong. For example, back in the book of Numbers, chapters 20, verses 7 to 12, the Israelites constantly complained about a lack of water. So God told Moses to go over and speak to a certain rock, and water would come out of the rock. Seems a little crazy to me, but you always got to do what God wants you to do. But Moses, he was so angry at the people's constant grumbling, what does he do? He hits the rock, not once, but twice with his staff. That poor rock sitting there, minding its own business, Moses comes over and whacks it twice. Well, God was merciful, and water miraculously flowed out of that rock. But because Moses didn't deal with his unchecked anger, God had to deal with Moses. Numbers 20, verse 12, but the Lord reprimanded Moses and Aaron. He said, because you did not have enough faith to acknowledge my holy power before the people of Israel, you will not lead them into the land that I promised to give them. Imagine that, wandering around with these people for 40 years trying to get them into the promised land, only to discover because you lost your temper, they're going to get in and you're not. God didn't allow Moses to enter the promised land. He certainly paid a high price for his temper tantrum. Don't worry, things worked out very good for Moses anyway. But now Moses didn't always let his anger get the best of him. In the book of Exodus chapter 32, Moses comes down from Mount Sinai, and he discovered that his people, aided by his brother no less, made a golden calf and were worshiping it. His anger burned at what he saw. Exodus 32, 19 and 20, when they came near the camp, he and Joshua, Moses saw the calf and the dancing, and in terrible anger he threw the tablets, the Ten Commandments, to the ground, and they lay broken at the foot of the mountain. He took the calf and melted it in the fire, and when the metal cooled, he ground it into powder and spread it upon the water and made the people drink it. Ugh, that's a little gross. Well, in this case, Moses' anger was justified, and the people learned a very costly lesson. Okay, what do you do about anger in your own life? The Bible gives us some very practical steps in taming the deadly sin of anger. And the first one, to me, is kind of obvious. Psalm 4, verse 4. Stand before the Lord in awe, and do not sin against him. Now listen. Lie quietly upon your bed in silent meditation. Look at yourself. Engage in some self-examination. Reflect quietly, just you and the Lord, and ask yourself, why am I angry? Or is this worth getting upset about? And maybe when you look at yourself, you discover that the other person isn't the problem, you are. You know, your problem might be pride or fear, something like that. Or you might realize that your anger is actually justified. In that case, you got to deal with how to manifest it properly with the help of the Holy Spirit. The second thing I would suggest is this. Learn how to forgive. Colossians 3, it's various verses, just listen, verse 8. But now is the time to cast off and throw away all these rotten garments of anger, hatred, cursing, and dirty language. Verse 12. Since you've been chosen by God who's given you this new kind of life, and because of his deep love and concern for you, you should practice tender-hearted mercy and kindness to others. Don't worry about making a good impression on them, but be ready to suffer quietly and patiently. Verse 13, be gentle and ready to forgive. Never hold grudges. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Someone said that forgiveness extinguishes fire's fuel. That's true. Corrie Ten Boom, some of you might be familiar with her, Holocaust survivor. She wrote The Hiding Place, a great, great book. I think it's still in publish. You ought to get a copy. Anyway, she was speaking at a church in Europe. I think it was probably in the late 60s or early 70s. And she came face to face with a concentration camp guard. He approached her, told her who he was, and he asked for her forgiveness. She was really taken aback and she didn't know what to do. She thought she'd had her anger conquered, you know. But she, on that spot, she had to pray for strength. And God enabled her to shake his hand. And that unresolved anger that she was holding, that she wasn't even aware of until that very moment, it just dissolved in grace. So forgive people. Thirdly, seems kind of obvious to me, and yet when you're angry, it's probably the last thing on your mind. You should always seek peace, if at all possible. Romans 12:18, Paul says, don't quarrel with anyone, but be at peace with everyone just as much as possible. So when you get into it with somebody, before somebody throws the first punch, don't escalate. De-escalate the situation. Boy, this is especially true if the other person is a believer. Stop. Pray together. Pray and ask the Lord to release the anger, preserving the bond of love in Christ. That is so important. And fourthly, rely on the Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, you all know that, those two verses, that they list the fruit of the Spirit. And among the fruit of the Spirit are some wonderful character traits, things like love and joy and peace and kindness, all antidotes to anger. So if you're born again, then you are full of the Holy Spirit. So therefore you have access to all the fruit of the Spirit. Make use of the Holy Spirit's presence in your life. What a relief it will be if you learn how to do that. Rely on the Holy Spirit. He will provide you with what you do not have. So not all anger is sinful, and it isn't always about feeling mad. It's about not letting anger rule your life. The Bible clearly shows us how dangerous unchecked anger can be. But my friend, through the Lord Jesus Christ, who absorbed God's anger on the cross, we find freedom. He took all of our sins, including our angry hearts, and he offers us reconciliation in return. So, from today onward, let's you and I, let's try to be slow to anger, quick to forgive, and let's try to channel all of our emotions for good, for the good of ourselves, for the good of other people, and for the good of our relationship with God. And there you have the second deadly sin. 30 and a half minutes past the hour. Thank you so much for listening to the Panic Podcast today. It's going to be another beautiful day today, so go on out and enjoy it if you're in Wise County, Virginia. Enjoy it because the clouds are going to roll in tonight. We've got some rain on the way. Have an excellent rest of the day today. Come on back on Wednesday. Lord willing, we'll talk some more then. God bless you. Once again, thank you so much for listening to the Panic Podcast.